Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Lisa Lisa Show. This is Lisa Lisa speaking to you live from the studio. Yes, that's right, I'm in the studio. Yippee-ki-yay. So I got here really early, and I have to say that I missed the first opportunity by not parking in the very first place that I saw. And then I ended up moving my car, driving around actually, and then I found a better spot. So kind of innovative, I guess you'd say. So I have to say, it is a beautiful fall day out there. I don't even want to say spring. It's just crazy. It's in the 50s. I'm sure that it's warming up, but it's been really, really chilly. And I was listening to this thing that they were saying that this was one of, on record, the warmest winters that we've ever had this past winter in North America. So they said it was one of the warmest winters we've ever had, except in the Northeast. So, of course, I live in the Northeast, and thusly, it was one of the coldest winters thus far on record, because that's exactly what they were saying. So I have to tell you, across North America, I remember that it was really, really cold. It wasn't just the Northeast. I remember there were record snowstorms everywhere, Colorado, Wisconsin. It was everywhere, all across the board, not just Canada and, you know, Northeast America. I know that Boston got slammed this winter, and I don't think they broke their record. I think they fell short about 2 or 3 or 4 inches. It was, like, really minimal, but it was really insane. So it's kind of crazy. So they're saying that, you know, global warming, this was one of the warmest winters on record. And I was like, really, I have to tell you, maybe I need to go to those places where it is warm weather. Extremely happy. As we know, I don't like the cold. So how many more times do I need to say that? I don't know. How many years have I been doing this show? How long have I been living on this earth? How long have I been saying that? Okay, my whole life. So there you have it. Anyway, craziness is all I can say. Crazy. So, and I've been following the weather like kind of everywhere. So now I have this app on my phone that gives you the weather. And what I've been doing, it doesn't limit you to just 10 different places. So I have about 15 or 20 places. And I have to say that I like to look at Nome, Alaska, as well as, you know, Baghdad and Israel, and, you know, because then you have an idea. It was like 109 degrees in Baghdad yesterday, and it started out at like 52 in New York, and I was like, really? It's June. Could we figure this out now and just warm up a little? That would make me extremely happy. So I have to say, I really got my hair done. Like, I didn't do it myself this time. I went and I got my hair cut and colored, and it took 2 days. So it's not that I have that much hair. It was the processes that were put upon my head. My hair feels, well, it's feeling better now. It was feeling kind of not so soft, not my usual softness. And so Tuesday I went and I got my hair cut, and it was pretty much, it took so long. It was like one hair at a time, because this is one of my niece's closest friends. I love this girl. I know her since she's probably 5. And I adore her. She's a very, very gifted hairstylist. But they were training her to cut hair in a different, you know, there's so many different methods, I'm sure, like with everything. There's 1,000 different ways to do. There are 1,000 different ways to skin a cat. So she was cutting my hair. It was a box method. So she was taking like about 1 square inch at a time and being checked. So she took a very long time to cut my hair, and then she colored my hair. And then I had to go back because the new process called balayage, and I thought it was Italian. She said it's French. Balayage. I guess that is French. I guess it just sounded Italian to me at one point yesterday after hearing it 1,000 times. It changed in my, it's like when you repeat any word. You say it 5 times and it's one thing. You say it 15 and it's completely other than. And then you're like, what the heck? Well, anyway, so what they do is they don't foil your hair. They take it bit by bit and they do a pattern on your head, hand painted, and then they put cotton and saran wrap. So I have to tell you that I don't have a ton of hair on my head. They told me that I have a normal amount of hair. Well, I guess in comparison to one of my sister-in-laws, actually two of my sister-in-laws have a lot of hair, but one of them really stands out. She's always had like, I have to say that if you gathered up all of my hair in your hand, it wouldn't even be like one quadrant of her head. She's got so much hair. And I don't have a lot of hair on the sides. I have a lot of hair in the back. Anyway, so after being reassured that I have fabulously fine, normal hair, not fine thinning, not fine texture, that it's normal, normal. And I'm like going, really? I always thought it was fine because when it's curly, it's much thicker. Anyway, yes, this is a girly show right now because I've spent like 7 or 8 hours having my hair done. 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4. So 8 hours it took to do my hair because she's in training. So I went back Wednesday, couldn't do my radio show because I was there, and I didn't think that I was going to be there that long, but I changed it with the apprehension that I might not be able to do it. So they saran your whole head, and when they saran your head, I have to tell you, saran doesn't breathe. So even though it doesn't feel super heavy, it's very warm. And then they put a heat lamp on you. So it actually wasn't as warm as I was anticipating. I was thinking I was going to be sweating my guts out sitting there, and I wasn't. In fact, every time they opened the door, I was chilly, and I never took off my sweater. So with their robe on, and then the towel around my neck, and then the apron over all, I was still chilly. And it's June, okay? It's June, and I was chilly in layers. And there was one girl running around in, like, a tank top, and I was looking at her, and she was making me cold looking at her. It was just not warm enough yet. Although I have to say that by the end of yesterday, before it dropped back down, it did warm up, and I had to take off one of my layers and be in a T-shirt, and that made me extremely happy. Although I'm still wearing jeans, and it's June. That doesn't sound right to me. Anyway, so what they do is they take your hair piece by piece, and then they paint it in a pattern, and then they leave it on. Now, this is actually a bleach, but my hair is so dark that they couldn't really bleach it down. She was telling me it was going to look orange. It didn't really look orange. And then she put in this really cool wild mahogany, which is like a deep cherry red. And she put that all over, and then that's called a glaze. And then she lightened the tips even more and left it for a really long time because she was busy doing other things. So initially I was told that the second part, the glaze, was going to be, you know, 10 minutes. And almost an hour later, they rinsed out the glaze. Definitely saturated my hair. Luckily, my hair today is feeling better. It felt a little straw-like yesterday, even with all the conditioner that they used. But I think that's the only thing that happened. But it actually feels better today. Albeit when I woke up yesterday morning after she'd done my hair the first time, my hair was gorgeous waking up. I was like, wow, look at that. And, of course, when anybody else blows out your hair, it looks great. And then I went and she did my hair the second time. And I woke up this morning, I was like, okay, it didn't look bad. But even putting it up and showering and not washing it, because I have to tell you that after all the treatments that I had for the past 2 days, I don't want to touch my hair for like a week if I can get away with it. So I got out of the shower and I was trying to, you know, hot iron it again. And all I can tell you is I made my hair so staticky and there's so much product in here that I ended up adding a little leave-in conditioner and that took away the static and yada, 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 girl talk. My hair looks spectacular, but I have to say, albeit I cannot see the color. But in the light, when she did it and took pictures, it looks very red. But I don't see it. And I'm an artist. Shouldn't I see it? I don't know. Anyway, so I had a very girly day. No, 2 days where I went and I had my hair did. I got my hair did. It was very funny. I don't remember the last time I had a professional haircut. It's been more than a year. Maybe it's just exactly a year. And I don't remember the last time somebody, I don't think anybody's colored my hair in years. The last time I got my hair colored, I think I had highlights, which is basically what I did now as a guinea pig. And I'm going to go back and she's going to take it down another notch. She says that by the end of the summer, I'll have real good highlights because my hair is so dark, it's really hard to strip the color and put in new color. I guess that's okay. That's a nice thing to know. Well, anyway, so aside from global warming and having my hair done, so sitting in that chair for all those hours, my butt hurt. I couldn't wait to get up and run around. And then when I got up and I ran around, I got in my car and I started to drive. And I got stuck in all the hellacious traffic on the planet because where I was in Ossining, I couldn't get onto the highway. I ended up taking 9 down, and I got stuck in that hellacious traffic in Tarrytown. And it was just like, I don't know, it was like a day and a half in the car that by the time I got back to New York and I was trying to make an appointment, there was no way. I was like midtown traffic at 5 o'clock or 4:30. It was 4:30. I was like, I'm going home. I'm done. So I went home to Kitty, and he was extremely happy to see me. So yay, Kitty, to be missed. I know that sounds so silly. Anyway. So here I am back in my studio, and I got here fairly early, although I have to say, for the fact that I was up way, way earlier, and I only got here at 10, I feel like I've done so much already this morning, and really, I haven't done too much. I've been very proactive. I have made a few decisions, and I have to say that I feel extremely good about them. So I will not share until things happen, because that's the way things are supposed to happen. So I'm working on a new painting. And I have to say that this is a spontaneous painting that's all framed out. Somebody was asking me about why do you do it the way that you do it? And it has to do with painting on a white surface rather than a surface that already has color. So spontaneous painting that I've been allowing it to happen naturally. How's that? Naturally. It's happening naturally. Anyway, so that's where I'm at. And I have 2 shows that I'm getting ready for. And I have to say, I honestly don't remember one of the pieces that was chosen for that show. Now I have to, like, fudge it because I'm not sure. That's kind of funny, too. You know, I usually take pictures and then I have it. I don't have to remember. But I have another show coming up, and I did take a shot of that, a snap. And so I know what's going into that show. There's 3. So I have a total of 7 pieces going into 2 different shows. And I think they're each going to hang. One's going to hang for a long time because it's a faculty show. And in my mind, you know, it's not of that great importance. The other show, however, is an invitational, even though it's in a store, and even though I don't normally do stuff like that, because it's for a good cause, a goodly portion, 50% of the sales, goes to the Helen Keller Foundation. And, you know, I love that. That, to me, makes me happy. Now, I'm going to say the bad thing on this. There are so many other organizations out there that do not have funding, that need funding, such as artists, art funds, you know, various different, I mean, we don't really care that much about our artists in New York, though they say that they do, and that New York is the art capital and the art mecca, but you know what, they don't really support us, and so I was proactive today, and I sent out a handful of personal emails to a lot of people, support your local artists. And I'm in I'm in need right now, so I put it out there for me, for my local artists. I'm one of the local artists. But it's like we need funding. And I say we. I'm talking individual artists. Everybody always gives to organizations. And by the time the organization divvy up or trickle down, the artists still suffer. They don't get anything. Now, I know I talk about all the time how we go in and we clean up all the nasty neighborhoods and we brave all of the, you know, the dangers to clean it up and bring it up. We never really get supported. And I have to say that's a really sad fact. It doesn't show well. And in Germany, they really support the artists, individuals, not just organizations. I have to tell you, I almost want to start an organization. I don't even know where to begin or how to do it that would fund artists. And so I could somehow or other start this organization, collect money, and artists that are in need to help pay their rent, to help get supplies, in general, a handful of things. All I think about is, you know, wouldn't it be really good to help the individual artists? So, yeah, you know, I have to say that kind of, it vexes me. It makes me very sad that they just, we don't, there's no help, really, for the individuals. That's all I'm saying, you know. It's like everyone's out there fending for themselves, but we're still the ones cleaning up, beautifying, and helping to bring in business into places. And it's not intentional. You know, we just go to the places that are affordable. They just happen to be, you know, dangerous or, you know, whatever. And I have to say that de Blasio is making a freaking mess of New York. I'm not saying that Bloomberg did such a great job, but at least he was innovative and had his own forward thinking. Now, I didn't like the whole, you know, treat New York City like his own little personal train set and change parking rules and regulations so no one can park and try to clean up New York as far as the melting pot, quote unquote, goes and make it more, you know, for the rich and the famous, the luxury of New York. You know, I am not for that at all. But having said that, at least he was more forward thinking, you know, and progressive for an old man. And here comes this moron, de Blasio, what a dumbass, brings back old blood, no forward thinking, no new ideas, and crime is up, up, up. And I have to tell you, this is all they were predicting. And it makes me really sad that that prediction is actually coming to fruition. I don't want to see that, you know. I want to see that New York is still safe. And he's just giving it away. He's giving away so many other things. It's like, I was driving around the city the other day. I was looking for parking. Now, I'm not going to say that de Blasio did anything with that, because obviously that wasn't his vision. That was Bloomberg's, you know, train set theory. I'm going to put this here. And I can just see him standing over Manhattan. It's like being in the Queens Museum, looking at the big cityscape of Manhattan. And here's Bloomberg as a giant, reaching down and moving things and switching switches and connecting buttons and playing with New York as his own little personal train set. Yes, I said it many, many times, but I have to tell you, that's exactly what he did. And here comes this moron, de Blasio, walks in and says, well, I'm not going to change that because I don't have any forward thinking. I don't like this guy, so I'm going to take him out. That was Kelly. Huge mistake. Then he turns around and he hires back all these people that have been outsourced, outcast, out moved out because they're old and they don't have any of their own. There's no new thinking. Where's the new? You got to keep moving forward. I hate that, but you know the whole thing about let's stop in our tracks now and let's just backtrack and go back to the old way of thinking. Oh yeah, we'll bring back crime and we'll start selling off New York again to all the foreigners. So, I mean, I remember when that first started, that was a nightmare as well, and things were happening rapidly. Now, everything, of course, is building going on everywhere, and I don't even know who gave permission for that. I saw the thin tower that's towering over New York. I have to tell you, I've said it before as well, I look at that building and all I think of is the fifth element. You know, when we have hover cars and, you know, New York is so dark and dim at the ground that nobody's down there, that it's all crime and infested with dangers that are just lurking every which way. And so hovercrafts and all these connective roadways, you know, you're driving out of your building. I guess it takes care of the parking issue, right? You just drive out, push a button. You're living in a tiny little, and the room was ridiculous in there. Efficiency. I mean, let's talk about efficiency. I've seen, you know, on Facebook where they have these, I say on Facebook, it's not just on Facebook, but there's an architectural group I follow, and they're always showing innovative ways to utilize small spaces. And what happens is everything kind of folds into the wall. Now, that means that there's got to be a lot of thickness. Okay, so here's where this goes all awry. You're pushing everything into the wall. Now, I'm not talking about a Murphy bed where you lift it up and it's about a foot of space. I'm talking about things that, like, actually turn into the wall. So now, if there's, like, 3 to 4 feet of wall space that you're putting all of your appliances and your bedding and your desks, why can't you just cut into the wall and have that fourth rather than in a wall so that you're living in 7 feet instead of 11 feet? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. But they're showing innovative ways to covet and hide things so that the space looks empty. Okay, well, you know, I would rather have things in a space and have the wall space, the foot space, than have less foot space and covet everything. So that's my theory on that to begin with. Okay, but going back to the fifth element, so here you have your car coming out of this, like a crawl space, and get in the car from your apartment, and you're living on the, 250th floor, and you're driving out, and you can't see the ground, and there's all sorts of, well, that building to me is the beginning of the end. And it's such an eyesore. And the first 10 floors of it are a hotel anyway. I don't even know how many stories there are. What is it? It's like 1,100 feet up, something like that, some crazy number. Yeah, anyway, it's just, you know, if you're going to build something taller, why not make higher ceilings and a little more elbow room? It's not always about making more to fit more. Sometimes you can have one apartment less and give 5 other apartments more space. I think that is more efficient, you know, because it's living spaces. I don't know. I don't want to downsize my living spaces. You know, everybody keeps telling me my apartment's big enough that I could have a studio in there and turn my bedroom into a studio. I lived in a studio apartment for a really long time, and I don't want to make my living room my bedroom and my living room and my dining room and have, you know, my studio right there. And then I'd never leave the house. I mean, let's talk about being a hermit. I come to my studio, I have no windows, and I'm a shut-in here as it is, so I never see the day. But at least I get out of my house, and I go somewhere, and I'm in another space. And then I leave here, and then I go somewhere else, and then I go home eventually. So, I mean, would it make the cat really happy if I were home? Yeah, but then I've got cat hair and everything. Do I need that? Not really. You know, I'd rather have a farmhouse or a large house with a big garage or a carriage house. That would be optimum. I have a carriage house. And then at least I'd walk out of my house and walk into my studio. And then when people come and visit, you know, they're visiting your studio. I don't know. I like that whole idea. I think the Hamptons always had that better set, because when you think about that, to me, and I like that better. Plus, you're near a beach, and that's never a bad thing, albeit in New York. And thusly, it's cold in New York. I don't want to be in cold weather anymore. So what's the solution? Well, you got to go somewhere warm. Where? I don't know exactly. This is the problem. So, I, you know, Everybody tells me I have to stay in New York because I'm a New York artist and that's where my artwork is. Well, I think that wherever I go, I'm going to create. I have to tell you, I still want to go to Sedona. I still want to go to Arizona. Yes, it's very hot. Yes, it's very warm. Yes, that's what I want. No, there are no beaches. Yeah, that's a really sad fact. Well, I don't want a pool. I don't really swim in swimming pools, you know. For me, I'll dip in just to chill out. I'd rather have the sand under my feet. Well, you're in the desert. There's lots of sand. Yeah, but there's no water. You can't hear the water. See how that works? There's a very interesting conundrum here that happens. There's so many other things that factor in, you know. It's not about having to swim in the ocean, although I do love that. It's just being near that kind of water. You know, when I need to think, I go by water, and I just listen to it, I hear it. I can sleep really well on the beach any time of day. It doesn't matter. I don't need the sun on me. I need the warmth and the sound of the ocean and the feel of the sand. I'm still going to start my own cult where we're going to go into the desert and scream at the top of our lungs, because I think that that is the really best way to get it all out, right? Just go and stand in there and scream. Oh, my God, I so feel it. I've done it. I love it. That's it. I have to tell you, I think I have to go west, young woman. That's where I got to go. You know, everybody in my family's going south. I don't want to go south. Although there are lots of beaches and it's very big, but it's not the same. I don't know. I'm going to have to build Lisa World Ranch. That's what I'm thinking. I'll build Lisa World Ranch. I'll have a fake ocean where there'll be something that, like all those fun parks, those water parks where they make their own waves, and I'll put sand all over the place. I'll have a big house. I'll have a carriage house for my studio, lots of windows, natural light all over the place. Yes, there will be also artificial light because I like to work at night, but I want to see the sun. I want to be in the light of day. I'm so tired of missing out on all the sun and the light of day. Anyway, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You know, I do love my jeans, but I have to tell you, I would rather be in skirts and flowy clothes that are, you know, less confining and be in shorts or, well, you know. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. Barefoot or in heels. That would make me happy. And I'm not wearing heels today. I'm wearing my Doc Martens. I'm wearing a pair of jeans. You know, it's a nice fall day out there. I don't even want to say it's spring because, you know, it's like we had that 5 seconds of heat and now it's cold again. So it's like in my brain, back to fall. Anyway, we already hit the 90-second mark. So I know that this show is wrapping up 60 seconds. So I have to say happy birthday to my niece, Nicole. That was on June 2nd. Happy birthday to my mom, June 5th. Happy birthday to my brother, David, June 6th. Happy friend LP, June 6th. Happy birthday to my friend EJ, June 8th. AK, June 9th. And actually, there are so many other people on June 6th. So June 6th, happy birthday, Tom. Oh, my God, there are so many people. I have to tell you, I'll have to do the list really next week. But happy pre-birthday to all of you, because by the time my show comes on next week, your birthdays will have passed. So happy, healthy, and many, many, and many, many more returns. And in 10 seconds, thank you so much for listening. This is Lisa in the studio on this beautiful fall day. Have a great weekend, everybody. And thank you for listening. This is Lisa of the Lisa Show signing off.